What a wonderful day in the Lord we've had. Choir, special music today. I tell you, y'all have sounded so good all day long. And have enjoyed this day in the Lord. And I'm glad that you're here this evening. Glad to have visitors here with us in the house of God. I have six more new move-in cards ready to go. Again, all they need is someone to take them, write something nice on the Christmas card, seal it up, pray for the person this whole week. Call them out in prayer. So, preacher, I just don't know if this is going to do any good. Well, it's going to do a lot more good if we don't do than if we don't do it. I mean, if there's a fire and you sit there and stare at it, you say, well, I wonder if we could just put it out by staring. It ain't going out. All right, so I think it will do some good because one of these folks, you don't know, listen to me. I'm not trying to make up something to get you involved. You're going to have to get involved yourself. If the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you can't get you involved, nothing I can come up with is going to get you involved. But just think about this. One of these six, what if they're on the brink of just calling it quits? And they get that call. Because you took it, wrote on the inside, I'm praying for you. Have a wonderful Merry Christmas. They might be an atheist. Lord, they know they need it. So we got to quit. You know what we do? We try to rationalize what we do for the Lord. We just do it and say, Lord, I'm doing it for you and for your honor and for your glory. Take it and use it. So they'll be down here if you want to get involved in that. There's six of them. Now, these envelopes I used are a little tight, so but they'll work. They're labeled, stamped, card. Everything's there. Just say, Lord, let me be used. And take them and use them. Don't forget the sign-up sheet over here. If you have signed up to go to camp, you need one of these. Medical slip. So if you haven't got one, see me after church and you can get it filled out and get it back to me. A medical slip. Okay. That needs to be cared for. Something else. Oh, be inviting folks to the Discovery Club and to the Christmas play. Invite them, talk to them about it. They see people come to that kind of stuff. We had a good crowd here this morning, didn't we? Man, I was like looking out there. Woo, praise God. Invite, talk, tell people, hey, you won't believe what those 40 kids are doing over there. I mean, it's amazing. Learning Scripture, putting memory to the Word of God. You know, if they was winning the trophy for baseball, we'd be telling everybody. If it was football state championship and our son's playing in it, and, you know, everybody, listen, people, strangers, we don't know them.
Right.
We looking weird to him. I mean, hey, let me tell you something, buddy. I got the best defensive tackle in the world. I'm telling you, he is going to win this state championship all by himself. We just stretch it. We call it a 12-pound bass. Let me tell you, Johnny, look what I done caught. We tell everybody we killed a 12-point buck. I don't know about you, but the Lord Jesus Christ is more important than a 12-point buck and a bass and a state championship and all that. So take it and turn to Mark chapter number 5 before you get mad at me and want to leave. Certainly glad we have visitors here tonight. Thank you, folks, for being here with us. Be in prayer for those that come on Sunday morning and don't make it back on Sunday night. They don't know what they're missing. I mean, it's a blessing being around God's people. And, you know, some of them probably come from churches that don't, maybe didn't have a Sunday evening church service. Or if they went, all they had was, you know, a cup of tea and some coffee, and they talked a little bit and went home. And then on Wednesday night at our prayer time, they probably never even saw folks get down to pray at church like we do. And they don't know that what's going on. You know what they used to doing at prayer meeting? Showing up, talk 25 minutes on problems, and no prayer. You know? Listen, we got the prayer list. We go over and read it. And I know sometimes it gets long. And then we break down and pray. But that's the important part. People stranger to prayer, stranger to power. And so they probably never realize what a real prayer meeting is about. And I'm sure that we can learn to pray a little bit better when we're praying. Because I know that I need to learn better and pray more. The only way to make it better is to practice at it, you know. Practice at prayer. Be around people that do pray. And tell your kids, listen to these men when they're praying. When they come up here, I'm telling you, they pray. And that's good to know. You listen to them, listen, follow along with them, and listen how they talk to God. Well, we've been going on outreach the last three Sunday evenings. Why outreach? Well, preacher, why are you doing this at the end of the year? Well, because New Year's coming up, we got a new year work ahead. So just getting this boost up, ready to go, and get out there and talk to people about the Lord. And you know what's an amazing thing about outreach? God desires to use you as an individual. He don't want you acting like me and me acting like you. He wants you to be yourself, be real. Talk to people about what the Lord's done for you in your life. So the first thought we had 2 weeks ago was, why outreach? Because religion has failed. There's religious people going to the house of God or places of worship. Let's put it like that. They're going to places of worship that don't even hear a clear presentation of the gospel. And religion has failed. There's people out there, because the second reason I told you was because the guilt just will not go away. You know that lady at the well? Messed up, worried about her past and everything that went on there. The guilt was eating her up so much she had to go out in the heat of the day to collect water. Yet the Lord had time for her. And the guilt wasn't going to go away unless the Lord went and met that need. And there's a lot of folks out there with that same guilt. They're not coming to the church. Because you know what they're thinking about us at church? That we're looking down our nose at them. We're above them. Well, how'd they get that? They probably went to some place of worship, some house of worship, and nobody made effort to get next to them, talk to them, spend time with them, befriend them. They felt like everybody was staring. You know how you were when you were a first-time visitor. And you know here at our church, the doors are kind of up front and visitors come in and then all of us staring over there. Like, wow, hey, we got a visitor. We're excited, but they don't know that. They don't know that. They don't know that we're excited for them to be here. And so they probably went to a place of worship in their past and said, man, that guilt was there. People staring at me. They just don't know we were all such as that at one time. I don't know anybody that's in my realm of circle that fell out of heaven as an angel. Maybe you got some that, you know, that flutter down and you look like a dove. The ones I got, Lord, no, dove, nothing. Man. Buzzards. So, they get a little, you know, a little bit discouraged and ashamed. That guilt just will not go. Who's going to remove that guilt? A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, third thing we're going to talk about tonight. When there's no way out. When there's no way out. Mark chapter 5, verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. thorn, that ain't how you say that, is it? Huh? Is that right? Okay. Sure didn't look like it. I'll keep on reading. Keep my mouth shut. Verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God. This is a demon talking. I adjure you by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told him how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. But when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. Now this whole story, these 20 verses I just read, I'm just going to tell you the one that really caught my attention out of all the verses was the fact that Jesus said unto him, No, you can't come to him, come with me. Go back and talk to your friends. I don't know about you, but I ain't had no friends that lived like this man. Now, I've had some friends that were pretty wild, but they didn't live in no tomb. They didn't cut on themselves and break chains and fetters. This guy had a pretty wild bunch of friends. But the fact that he had anybody that would be associated with him, that caught me as an amazement right there. I mean, it was astonishing to me, and that was the Lord's answer. Go talk to your friends. And I begin to think, why is that? Why would the Lord send him back to his friends? Because those are the ones that knew him the best. Those knew him real up close and how he really was. And now they can see a change. The influence he had on him, the change in his life, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So all of a sudden, here's this man that was bound by legions of demons. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes up on the scene, casts them out. Now he's clothed, seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus in his right mind. What influence? He says, No, you can't come with me. Go back and you go spend time with your friends. Let me tell you something. People that are caught in sin, it's a spiral, downhill trip headed for destruction. According to the scriptures, when sin is finished, it brings forth death, destruction. So we may not know a person in this fix, literally. But to be honest with you, any person without Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is going to spend the same place for eternity that this man would have spent, a place called hell. So, you may not know somebody in this fix, but we know a lot of folks that are without Christ. And being without Christ is just as troublesome. The end is the same as if it was a crackhead out there on the street stealing every night. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Those raised in good families, with a good mom and a good daddy, with a good husband and a good wife, those that was raised in an orphanage, those that was raised in paganism, for God so loved the world. There's no limit on God's love. No limit whatsoever. And no matter what you can try on your own, it just seems like when you're in sin and you're in a situation similar to what this guy was, maybe not possessed of demons, but you surely have a lot of oppression, a lot of wicked influences around you. No matter, it seems as though when you take one step up, you lose your grip, your foot slips, and down you go. There, it seems there's no way out of this bondage. No way out. And I believe there's a lot of folks out here that are without Christ, that are in bad situations, addictions of all sorts, that they really want help. And they desire for help, and they want out. But I'm telling you, they're longing to be free, but they don't know how to be free. Well, I got good news, church. They can't get themselves out, but we know the one that can get them out. So that's why we have outreach. That's why we reach out, because there's people all around us living in bondage of some sort. I mean, bondage, it's untamed, it's dominating their lives. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, kleptomaniacs. Can you imagine having money in your pocket and walking into a store and you go past something and you've got to take it? I can't imagine what in their mentality is driving them that they say it's some kind of chemical high. When you find actors and rich folks getting caught for shoplifting something that they dropped, you know, the cost of what they stole, they make it 2 or 10 or 5 minutes of their time. What would cause somebody to do that? I'm telling you, it's bondage, dear friend. What kind of a bondage? I don't know if it's fears from abusive past or the present is looking like there's no help in sight or the future is not even in sight. But something keeps them in that bondage. Just unable. Within, no matter how hard they try. And I told you this story several times. And bless my mother-in-law's precious heart. She tried for years and years to quit smoking. Lung problems. Her lungs collapsed. And she tried. And I remember in the hospital, she told her daughter, not my kid, my wife, her other daughter, she said, just take out the cigarettes and let me smell them. in bondage. She wanted out. She didn't want to be entrapped in that addictive form of whatever they're putting into them that's caused it to be so addictive. And I'm sorry to tell you, Morgan and Morgan, propagating this here herbal plant out there is crazy. And I hope it listens to our website. Because it ain't the sick that's going to use it. It's the criminals and the thugs out there that's going to use it. And the ones who say, well, it's going to help my back. You want to help your back? Get up and work. Not taking some drug and justifying it. Municipal, myhissable. Okay, let's move on. A life of bondage. How did you translate all that, Sister Nancy? Let's think about that. Praise God for those ladies back there learning how to sign. It's not only untamed. It's a life that's self-destructive. Think about how many mamas and daddies that's been caught and addicted on things that they've just destroyed. Their job's been wrecked. Can't keep a job. You know it's bad. You know it's bad when society has got to the point where we will give somebody SSI because they drink too much. It's bad. It is bad. I mean, they're just a down spot. Now, I'm thinking about all the stuff that goes on in society. The other day, I was down at one of the gas stations, and the guy in front of me, it was a Friday, and got up there. He had his 24-pack of something, some kind of beer, and then he got him a carton of cigarettes, and then he got him $50 worth of lottery tickets. And when that lady rung all that up, I was like, that's enough right there to break you of any bad habit. Right. Just that amount of money going out of your hand. I mean, that would be like pulling fingers off of me. I mean, what, man? Oh, hold up, ma'am. You're not getting this. But it's got them. They're in bondage. Let me tell you, society has told them that that's the good life. Work hard. Try to win millions. And so you can't win millions, drink it away. And you know, it's just okay. Society said it's okay. A lot of our churches have said it's okay. I remember sitting in a church one time and the pastor was preaching. He was preaching, said, you know, social drinking's okay. It's not okay.
Amen.
So social drinks is the beginning of drinking every day.
Right.
And you know who hurts? The kids. The wife.
Right.
And it's not always the husband that's drinking by himself either way, anyway.
Amen.
There's a lot of ladies do it too. Just a down spot. Oh, but when Jesus shows up, He's a liberating Savior, isn't He?
Amen.
He delivered this guy from the power of sin. There wasn't no way out for him. They had chained him, fettered him, bound him. He'd break the chains. He'd break the fetters. But I'm telling you what, we got a Lord Jesus Christ that, dear friend, He not only rescues, He restores. Found Him seated at His feet in His right mind and clothed.
Yeah.
Sounds like restoration to me. I mean, He rescued him, He restored him. When in bondage and sin, sometimes, dear friend, it is not what we do not know about it. It's just that it is in control of our appetites are linked to it. That's why the scripture says in Romans, we've got to yield ourselves as the instrument of righteousness. We've yielded ourselves to unrighteousness. And unrighteousness does not let go easy. It does not. But we have a Savior. When He gets on the scene and He gets involved, and that's why we're going out there and we outreach, is because there are people that are involved in stuff, dear friend, that the only one can help is the Lord Jesus Christ. He delivers from the power of sin, dear friend, and He delivers from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ gets involved, they're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. And it's as real as the breath we're breathing right now. It's real. We've got to get back to the point. The last couple of Sunday school weeks, months, this month, December, I just started doing some topical things, and I did one on diligence, and we started one on assurance today. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, the reason we're faltering and failing at this walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no assurance of the Scripture anymore. People have told us time and time again, educated, I was almost said an educated moron. That would not have been kind. Educated theologians. Now, if they fit the other shoe, that's their problem. Have told us, well, that verse really wasn't in the originals. Are you kidding me? Were you there when the originals was written? How do you know? I know this, that this book has changed a lot of people's lives and put them on a solid rock and changed their lives and given them the ability to walk in fullness and freeness of the liberty of Christ. Amen. It's not because that verse doesn't belong there. It wasn't in this one. It wasn't in that one. And bless God, it's been in this good old King James for a long time, and it's helped a lot of people. Amen. So, let me tell you something. They're living in bondage. Here comes Jesus on the scene, and He liberates them. It's not just for a moment. It's a lasting freedom. A lasting freedom. How many times have you and I turned over a new leaf? How many times have we said, we're not going to do this, and we struggle, we fight through it, I'm not going to be involved in that, I'm not going to listen to this, I'm not going to talk about that, and we struggle, and we falter and we fail. Why? It's because we've tried it in our own might and our own power and our own strength. When Jesus gets involved and He liberates, He rescues and He restores, it's a lasting freedom. And I'm going to tell you, He gives us a brand new journey. This guy was stuck around inside some tombs on the mountain screaming and wailing at night. When I read this, I said, this sounds like something Hollywood's been putting out. I mean, you read that first portion up there and think, good night alive. Is somebody in Hollywood reading the Bible and then putting pictures to it? I mean, wailing and screaming and moaning and groaning, running around with no clothes on. Exactly what Hollywood does. Most of our musicians, I mean, how would they... wailing and screaming. I'm getting to think that if we wanted to, we could get around here with a couple of these guys who can't sing, and we can just name ourselves something and just say we could sing, and maybe people will come pay us. I mean, after all, they're paying $100 for tore up blue jeans. Every time I get tore up blue jeans or stains on them, my wife throws them away, goes back to Goodwill and buys me another pair. They're buying them for $100. She's losing out on this deal, Sister Barbara. Put them things on eBay and sell them, honey. $100, I mean, good Lord. Listen, Jesus gave him a new lifestyle, didn't He? Put him in his right mind. Dressed him, clothed him. gave him a new job. Jesus said, go back and tell your friends. Tell them what? Show them what the Lord's done. That's what we're in it for. When we reach somebody, remember when somebody reached you with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and presented Christ to you? Think about how you were and where you was headed. Brother Lee told me that this morning. We was talking about something this morning. He said, the reason we can't understand it is because we're out of sin. We're out of that wickedness. But think back to when you were like that. Then it helps you.
Amen.
Well, what happened? Somebody presented Christ to us. We accepted the Lord as our Savior. He gave us a new journey. We're headed that way. Gave us a new job. Go tell your friends. Tell them what? Show them how merciful the Lord's been unto you. Oh, I'm telling you, He's been merciful to us, church. As individuals, as families, as a church, we got a lot to testify about. A lot to talk about. Three things. Jesus came to bring deliverance to the captives. That's what the Scripture teaches. You can find that in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And I believe and I can testify that I was in captivity and He led me free. Not just me alone. I've got plenty of friends that He's done wonderful things in their lives. Number two, Jesus didn't win freedom through the cross alone in His resurrection. He could have stayed in that grave like any other man. But He proved to us He can liberate.
Amen.
He rose again. He rose again. Thirdly, Jesus will deliver you from the fear of testifying for Him if you'll just let Him. I'm telling you, it's not an easy thing to stop talking to somebody about Jesus, about the Lord, about eternity. Not easy at all. He said to His disciples, He said, I've sent you out among wolves. He understands that. But He'll give us the boldness. He'll give us the ability. If we'll get an understanding of why outreach is so important. Religious organizations have failed. The Lord's church hasn't failed, by the way. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I failed in my part many times inside our church, but His church would not fail.
Amen.
It marches on. Religion has failed. People are full of guilt. You know what they're thinking in that guilt? There's absolutely no way out. Two stories we've had back to back last Sunday, this Sunday, that there's a way out. What happened with both stories? The woman at the well went and told all the men. Why the men? Because she was involved with the men. This guy went and told all of his friends. Again, when I think about his friends, they must have been a pretty rowdy bunch. And they needed somebody that had such a radical change in their life, in his life, to say, look. So if God's done some great things in your life, don't keep it a secret. Share it with others. You don't know who in the world God crosses your path with that is struggling with the same thing that you're struggling with. And you can show them that there's victory. Not victory in a system, but victory in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet.